In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The word of God we consider tonight is from Proverbs, where the voice of wisdom says, "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. Then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man." The word of the Lord. Please be seated. God can sometimes seem distant. We see all the kinds of things that go on in the world, the evil ways that man treats man. We see the moral compass of America eroding away as there is increasing confusion about things like marriage and family, things like religious freedom, and even things like gender identity. More and more, we see violent crime and drug abuse going on in our own community. There's all that crud that goes on out there in the world, but then there's also the crud that we deal with in our own lives. Some of us have broken families. Some of us have financial strain. Others, failing health. Some of us are transitioning into big new things happening in our lives, and that's causing stress. All of that stuff. And then we also have our own deep, dark, personal issues that just won't let up. Where's God in the midst of that storm of trouble? Today, the church celebrates the Holy Trinity. Should we do the Athanasian Creed every week? No one's saying yes, okay. Trinity is not a word that you'll find in the Bible, but it is that doctrine drawn from the Bible that tells us who God is, that he is one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a mystery beyond human understanding. And you might say, okay, yeah, I believe that, but what good does the doctrine of the Trinity do me in this messy world? And I'm here to tell you tonight that the Trinity is not just some dry, irrelevant dogma. Trinity is who our God is. And it is in the persons of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that God reveals his love for a world where all sorts of crazy things happen. Our text from Proverbs today teaches us about wisdom. Not wisdom as a character trait, but wisdom a person. Wisdom who cries out from the rooftops and from the heart of the city, calling for the allegiance of humanity. Wisdom as a person who always was. Wisdom was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. These familiar words from the beginning of the Gospel of John speak of the second person of the Holy Trinity. Wisdom, that we read about in Proverbs, wisdom is Christ himself. And it is Christ who calls to us. Wisdom, the person. Wisdom, the eternal Son of God. Before Christ was born in Bethlehem, before he received the name Jesus, Christ was there. He was there at the beginning. The second person of the Trinity was in heaven with the Father. He was active in the creation of the world, and he continued to be active in that creation. So, little history lesson for you tonight. In the 4th century, this passage from Proverbs was the center of a big debate in the church. People were arguing over who Jesus was, whether he was divine or human or a mixture or something else. And we all know how problems get solved in the church, which reminds me of an announcement I forgot. But we hold a voters' meeting. There's a voters' meeting tomorrow after church. Be there. So the early ancient church had this big voters' meeting, and it was held in the year 325 in the city of Nicaea. And it is from this council that we get the Nicene Creed that we still confess today. Now, there was a pastor at the council named Arius, and Arius claimed that Christ didn't always exist. His catchphrase was, "There was a time when the sun was not." that he was not really divine. He was just a cool guy that God decided to give special divine powers to at his baptism so that he could die for our sins. Well, that idea did not go over well with the voters. Didn't go over well at the council. How could a mere human being forgive sins? How could his death or resurrection have any meaning to us if all he was a guy? One of the bishops at the Council of Nicaea was so angry that Arius would teach something like this that he slapped him across the face. That bishop's name was Nicholas of Myra. Yep, that Nicholas. Ho, ho, ho. Didn't know that about Santa, did you? He's a little bit violent sometimes. The church knew that Christ was always divine, that he always existed, because we have passages like John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And John 17, where Christ himself says, "You, Father, loved me before the foundation of the world." And then also our passage from Proverbs that talks about eternal wisdom. So the council ended up condemning Arius' teaching as a heresy and formulated this Nicene Creed that we use today in order to clearly speak about God, that he is eternal, three persons in one God. One of the main authors of that creed was a guy from Egypt named Athanasius, and that's how we have the Athanasian Creed named after him, even though he didn't write it, but you can read more about that in your bulletins. Okay, so we have our history lesson. We understand where the idea of Trinity first, you know, was coined and all that. We know that Christ is the wisdom of God and was there at the beginning of the world. We know that the Spirit of God was there hovering over the face of the waters, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each fully God, each always existing. Okay, what does that do for us in the midst of this messy world, though? How does the Trinity help us when God seems so far off? Returning to Proverbs, when Christ, as wisdom himself, was there at the beginning, what was he doing? Let's look at what wisdom says in verse 30. "I was daily the Lord's delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man." So before there was a world, before there was anything, the Son of God was delighting in us. God didn't have to make anything or anyone. He wasn't incomplete. He wasn't lonely. He didn't need us to give him praise. But just out of delight, he made a world and filled it with creatures. And you and I were already in his mind before any of that ever happened. At the beginning, he was delighting in the fact that one day we would be here talking about the Trinity. In Matthew 25, we read that in the final judgment, Jesus will say to the faithful, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Again, before the beginning, before God made anything, he was already preparing a kingdom for you. And before the beginning, he already knew it was coming. God knew that if he made him some people, it wasn't going to be easy, because these people would be disobedient, stiff-necked, stubborn, ungrateful, jealous, impatient, lustful people. People that would rather do their own thing any day of the week than to do what God wanted them to do. He knew how his people would fall into sin. He knew how the sin of Adam and Eve would spiral his whole creation out of control and plunge us into chaos. He knew that there would be all kinds of evil and messiness in the world. And he knew that in order to set things right, there would be a price to pay. That he, the architect of the universe, would have to enter into this mess that we made. He would have to become weak, suffer great anguish, and die. And that his death on the cross meant that the eternal relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit would be broken. The Father would forsake his Son. He would pour out his wrath on his Son. and the Son himself, God in the flesh, would die. See, this is not a God who is removed from suffering. This is a God who shows his wisdom and his love by jumping right into this mess of a world, this tornado of our life, and dying with us and for us. He took on our flesh, our weaknesses, our sufferings, and our dirtiest sins. From the start, he knew that all this would have to happen. All this would have to happen before he could rise again and restore us back to that glorious perfection. From the beginning, he knew every little thing that would go wrong, down to the bad day that we had this week. And you know what? He decided to create us anyway. Knowing everything that would get messed up, he created us anyway. Why? Because before you were even here, he knew you and he loved you and he said it was worth it. And the triune God is still present in our world. Every time you open your Bible and read, or every time you hear the Word of God read or proclaimed to you, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is speaking to you. Every time you approach the altar here, the second person of the Trinity, the Son, is giving you his body and blood to strengthen your faith. Every day that you wake up, God the Father is providing for all of your needs of body and soul. Here we gather to receive the blessings of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. At the opening of that reading from Proverbs, we read, "Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? To you, O man, I call, and my cry is to the children of man." Christ calls out to the children of humanity, even to you and me, because it is he who made us, it is he who delights in us, and it is he who keeps us. He wants us to live with him and walk in the ways of wisdom, according to his words, to live with Christ. And when that seems impossible for us to do, when we just can't seem to muster the energy to do it, remember that in baptism we have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, to strengthen and guide us. We're not left on our own, but the triune God is with us through every time of joy and through every trouble. So therefore, as we go today, let us heed the call of wisdom, who is our guide and our comfort and our Savior always. Amen. May the blessing of God the Father, the fountain of wisdom, the blessing of God the Son, wisdom incarnate, and the blessing of God the Holy Spirit, who guides us in the paths of wisdom, be with us and remain with us forever. Amen. We rise now for prayer.